Good morning. I'm ready. Are you? I'm ready. Are you? I'm ready. Are you? Okay, great. All right. So if you are a guest with us this morning, we want to say thank you. Thank you for choosing to be with us today. And if you came in and you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table, that would be such a big help to us. Hopefully when you came in, you received a bulletin. When all of the rest of you came in, did you receive a bulletin? If not, make sure that you grab one on the way out. So if you have a bulletin, open it up and let's take a look at what's going on right after our morning worship service this morning. We are having Sunday school, and we have Sunday school for children all the way up through adults. Today, in our adult Sunday school class, it's going to be a little bit different. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and then Robert's going to come up a little bit, and he's going to tell you even more. But Lisa is going to help us. We're studying the Old Testament right now, all of the books of the Old Testament, some of the events in the Old Testament. And Lisa is going to take us through, and she's going to help us, give us clues and give us things to remember the Old Testament events and the Old Testament books. So if you've been wanting to be able to know how to remember all of that stuff, you need to plan on being in Sunday school this morning. And Robert's going to come and he's going to share more about that. All right, Monday night, ladies, 7 p.m. here at the church. We have ladies' Bible study, and this is open up to all ladies. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible study here at the church at 1:30 p.m. We're continuing on in our study of the Holy Spirit, which has been really, really good. At least I think so, but I'm the teacher, so you might have to ask somebody who endures it if that's been good. All right, Saturday, men's breakfast here at the church. You know what's going to be on the menu. Bacon, yes, okay. All right, you guys are so good. And then, when you go to bed, turn your clocks back an hour. Otherwise, you're going to be messed up on Sunday morning. And we don't want that to happen, okay? By the way, we get an extra hour of sleep this coming weekend. How many of you are looking forward to that? How many of you are going to burn it? Okay. Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, some of us know exactly what that means. And so hopefully you have a bulletin. And so if not, please, again, make sure that you have one. Robert, come on up and share with us.
Okay, yeah, I have a couple things. And like Sam mentioned, give you a little more detail about what we're doing in Sunday school. So several years ago, and we got to think about it in class, it was actually more like a decade ago. Felt like several years ago. Lisa and I took the class through a walk through the Bible presentation for the Old Testament prophets. And if you're not familiar with what walk through the Bible is, it's basically a method of memorizing high points in Scripture using hand motions and words and group activity, like coming together and helping each other learn it. So if you have not been part of Sunday school and you would like to figure out what we do in Sunday school, today would be a good time to come. It's reinforcing an Old Testament study that we're looking at, and it'll be a good time. It'll be a lot of work. It'll be frustrating, and it'll be worth it. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Yeah, you'll smile a lot. We'll laugh at each other. We'll laugh at ourselves. It'll be good. And then lastly, the leaves are still on the info desk. So if you'd like to write a nice note to Pastor Sam, tell him anything, you know, what's on your mind, if you appreciate him, how much you appreciate him. Jared suggested last time you can use as many leaves as you think fits. Feel free to do that. But this is the last week that we can do that and put that together. So with that, I think we have a birthday.
We do have a birthday.
All right.
So today, Jan, it's your birthday. So let's sing happy birthday for Jen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jen. Happy birthday to you. And as we get started this morning, would you can stay seated. You can relax. If you want to stand, go ahead. But we're just going to take a breather this morning. Would you pray with me as we get started? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your house and to sing your praises. Lord, to focus on you, spend time in your word, do fun hand motions and learn about your word, how to store it in our mind. Lord, thank you so much for every opportunity that we get to praise you, to worship you. So Lord, today, as we sing these songs, would you bring back to our mind, our remembrance, how great you are, how loving you are, how gracious, how merciful. Lord, we love you, and we praise you this morning in Jesus' name.
Not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you.
About the cross. It's about Father, we thank you for that cleansing fountain. Lord, we thank you for Jesus on the cross. It's all about him. Lord, that's why we're here today, is to sing about you. Sing about Jesus. Sing about the grace that we've been given and the love with which you've loved us. Lord, praise you. Praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy, holy. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcomed home. Sinner now a saint, for the God who died came back to life, and everything was changed. Hallelujah, Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, Christ is. trusting. Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed doom. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Day you call me in to heaven's sweet embrace, I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face, and through tears of joy I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Good, and you're worthy of our praise. People of our church, is God worthy of your praise today?
Amen.
Amen. Is he worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, we are so thankful for you today. You rose from that grave. We're so thankful that you decided to include us in your plan, and that you've given us something to look forward to, a glorious day. Lord, we can't wait for that meeting face to face. So, Lord, help us to get through day by day until we meet you in that glorious day. Amen. We're going to take this morning's offering and sing the song Glorious Day, which was a request. If you have song requests, don't hesitate to reach out to me. If you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give because a plate passes in front of you. Give because you want to worship God today.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among. Forever. one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. And then in nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me, living.
Today could be the glorious day. Are you looking forward to it? Are you watching for it? The Bible says we need to be watching and waiting for that day. Every day I'm watching. Every day I'm waiting. Every day I'm praying. Jesus, is this the day you come back and get us? Wouldn't that be great if today's the day? I'm ready. I hope you are too. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. All right. One rose among all these thorns. Wow. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful to be able to have sung your praises this morning. And Father, today could be that glorious day, that day when you send your son to come catch us away in the clouds, to change these corrupt, sinful bodies, to give us bodies that will be fit for us to live in heaven forever and ever and ever. Father, this could be the day. And Father, I pray that in anticipation of that, that you will help us as we hear your word this morning, whether it's in Children's Church or here in the sanctuary or even in a little bit in Sunday school. Father, as we learn more about you, as we learn more about how much you loved us, that you didn't leave us in our sin, but you sent us a Savior. You sent us one who could pay that debt of sin that we owed because we couldn't pay it ourselves. So, Father, help us to learn more about you, more about your love, more about your grace, more about your compassion, more about your mercy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. And I've been reading a lot in the book of Colossians. I've been reading a lot in a lot of different books, but I've been reading a lot in the book of Colossians. And so if you're astute, like I know that you are, observant, like I know that you are, you're going to say, well, let's see, Pastor. We've already had two communion messages from the book of Colossians, and now we're having another one? The answer is yes, we are, okay? And so because there's some great things that God uses Paul to be able to tell us about what Jesus did for us and what it means to us. And so we're going to look at some verses again here in Colossians chapter 2. They're different verses than what we've used in the last couple communion sermons, but nonetheless, I think that they are really, really special. Our faith is grounded in one great truth, and we sang about that this morning. Jesus conquered death, the grave, and sin through the sacrifice of his own life. You know what this tells us? The death of Jesus was not an accident. The death of Jesus was part of God's plan. God's plan for you, God's plan for me, God's plan for the whole world. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Jesus surrendered his life as a sacrifice. Why did he do that? He did that because of your and mine sinful condition. And by doing this, Jesus conquered everything that Satan could throw at him. We talked about this, I think, last week in our Sunday school. The prophet Isaiah saw what was to take place over 700 years before it occurred, what was to take place as far as Jesus sacrificing his life for us. And the prophet declared, and it's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Listen to these words. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Those words, transgressions and iniquities in the Hebrews, is the same word as the word sin. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, this sentence points forward to what would take place at the cross when Jesus offered his life as a sacrifice. Every sin that has stained my life, every sin that has stained your life, was laid on Jesus at the cross. He nailed our sin to the cross, and we are set free by his sacrifice. Jesus conquered the tomb. He gave his life, and then he rose from the dead. And this truth brings us to some significant questions. And the first question is this: why did Jesus die? Well, here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, God tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is leading Paul to be able to write this explanation, to this answer to this question, to the believers in Colossae. Starting in verse 13, I'm going to read down through verse 15. And you, I'm going to stop there for a moment. And you, who's the you? You, me, the whole world. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Our text opens with the acknowledgement that each one of us was dead before God. This means that all people, by the way, all people, regardless of what others may think of them, were dead in their sinful condition. Each person stood condemned as sinful before God. And this condition was universal for all mankind. Now, those who are spiritually dead, we know them to be unbelievers, those who have yet to come to believe in Jesus as Savior for eternal life. Those who are spiritually dead are aware that there is a God, but they do not know him. Knowing that God exists is not the same as knowing God. Just let that settle in for a moment. Knowing that God exists is not the same as knowing God. We know that the president is real, but none of us actually know the president. I don't think there's anyone among us who can pick up the phone and call or text the president. Is there? Didn't think so. Okay. All right. I know some of you traveled in some really high circles, but I didn't think it was that high. Okay. Unbelievers may know about God, but they do not know God. And like the unbelievers of this world, we who have been saved for eternal life at one time was dead in our sin. And because we were dead, because we were spiritually incapable of knowing God, there had to be a sacrifice offered in our place. Propitiation for our sins was required by God, and without such intervention, there could never be peace with God. There had to be some way of reconciling us to God while we were still in our sinful condition. We were incapable of accomplishing whatever was necessary for the payment that God required for our sin. But God, I love those words, but God has paid the debt for us through offering his own son as a sacrifice on the cross. There had to be a means by which our debt of sin was cared for. The prophet Isaiah was moved by the Spirit of God to write of the one of whom God would send as that sacrifice in our place. Listen to his words. Isaiah 53, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6 this time. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is Isaiah trying to get across here? Jesus gave his own life for humanity. When we were condemned by our own choices, God piled all of our sins on Jesus. And what does Paul say here in Colossians? Jesus nailed them to his cross. With that in mind, that brings us to the second question. And the second question is this: how did Jesus die? Go back to verse 13 through verse 15. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus the Savior presented himself in the most horrific manner imaginable as the sacrifice for our sin. Now, the Romans invented crucifixion. But it's interesting that God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave the prophet Isaiah over 700 years before crucifixion was ever instituted by the Roman authorities of what crucifixion was going to be like. Wow. That's amazing. So the Romans invented crucifixion as a means of dominating conquered peoples. The method of execution was not to be administered to any Roman since it was such a horrible, horrible death. But in the view of the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus was a threat and needed to be removed from the scene. And in the view of the Roman governor named Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth was just another of those pesky Jews who were to be eliminated by the Roman authorities. And it's interesting to note that the Roman authority was inclined to release Jesus of Nazareth when he was brought before Governor Pilate. The Jews who seized Jesus were unable to clearly state why he should be trialed and then executed. But they nevertheless demanded that he be tried and executed under Roman law. So Pilate attempted to learn more about the case by questioning Jesus. As Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate had no respect for Jesus. Pilate disliked the Jews. And when one who stood before him did not cower before the might of Rome, this irritated Pilate even more. And Pilate tried to humiliate Jesus, delivering him over to the soldiers who sought to punish him through cruel, unimaginable actions. And when Pilate attempted to release Jesus because he couldn't find anything worth giving him a sentence of execution, the Jewish religious leaders were outraged and were shouting, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." And something in what they had said terrified Pilate. And in his fear, Pilate was disquieted, disturbed, and distressed. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus knew he would die. He talked about his death. He knew his purpose. He said on many occasions, "I have come to do the will of the Father who sent me," knowing that that will was for him to go to the cross, to be able to take the sin of all humankind and nail it to that cross. Jesus knew he was going to die, but he also knew that his death was not going to be an accidental one. The Son of God moved deliberately toward an intentional sacrifice for sinful mankind. Jesus spoke of this over and over and over again. In fact, at one point, Jesus interacted with Nicodemus, a Pharisee who was a teacher of the law, and he taught the teacher. He said, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever," get this, "whoever believes in him may have" what? "Eternal life." "Whoever works," whoever can pass a test, whoever can say a prayer, whoever can meet with the right people, whoever can go to the right church, no, "whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That's recorded for us in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And because Jesus in his grace, because Jesus in his mercy, because Jesus in his compassion, because Jesus in his love died for us, there are results for those of us who believe in him for eternal life. And what are those results of Jesus' death? Go back to Colossians chapter 13. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This Jesus set aside, nailing it to the cross." These verses inform us of several truths from the Savior's sacrifice that benefit those who believe in him as Savior. What are some of those benefits? God made us alive with him. We once were dead before we believed in him as Savior. But the moment we believed in him as Savior, guess what? We were made alive with him. He's forgiven us all our trespasses. He canceled the record of debt that stood against us. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, putting them to open shame. Jesus did this when he was nailed to the cross, and he nailed it all to the cross. You know, as I've been thinking about that, this hymn that sometimes we sing kept coming back to my mind, kept coming back to my heart. And I think it's a hymn that all of you know. It is called "It Is Well." Now, I don't know if you know the background of that hymn, but it was written, the words were written by a fellow named Horatio Spafford, who was a businessman in Chicago. And he had a business. He had an insurance business. And he had a family. He had two daughters and a son. And in his early age, the son ended up dying. And one of his businesses, one of his insurance businesses, burned up in the Chicago fire. And then he was a big supporter of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was over in England holding crusades. And so Horatio Spafford wanted to take his family, the ones that were left, over to England. And so he put his daughters and he put his wife on a ship, an ocean liner, to be able to send them across the ocean to England. And he stayed behind to catch up on some business, and then he was going to join them at a later time. And as the liner was making its way across the Atlantic, on its way over to England, something happened, and the ship ran into trouble, and the two daughters ended up drowning. The wife made it to England, sent him back a telegram that said, "Safe, but only me." And then Horatio Spafford got on an ocean liner and made the trip over to England to be able to join his wife. And as the ocean liner was taking the same path that the other ocean liner had taken, just as they got to the spot to where his daughters drowned, the captain of the ship came to Horatio Spafford and said, this is the place where your daughters drowned." And after a few moments of getting his thoughts together and collecting himself, he went back to his stateroom and he sat down to pen the words to this hymn. And the first verse is a reflection on the death of the author's daughters. "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Then as he sat there a little bit longer, God brought to him a second verse. And this second verse is a reflection on what Jesus did for all of humankind. He writes, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul this morning? Is it well with your soul because you believe in Jesus as Savior for eternal life? Because you see, with his death and resurrection, Jesus canceled the debt that stood against us. And canceling that debt, Jesus provided a way for us, what? To be made alive to God. And being made alive to God means so much to us as believers. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes about those blessings that come with us being made alive to God. I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ." How do we get to be in Christ? By believing in him as Savior. who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, what? Believed in him. We're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What is that inheritance? Life eternal in his presence in this place called heaven. And today could be the day that we get to enjoy that inheritance. Today could be the day of that glorious day in Jesus. We who have believed have already received all that God could bestow upon us. In fact, we have every spiritual blessing, how did Paul put it? Available in the heavenly places. And because of all that Jesus nailed to the cross, you and I today, as believers, stand perfect in Christ. All that we struggle with because of sin, in Jesus, we stand perfect before God. Because Jesus, in whom we believe as our Savior, nailed our sin to his cross, died and is risen from the dead, we have been made right with God. We are justified and no longer under condemnation. So as we prepare to take communion together this morning, as we prepare this for this celebration of communion, remember this, we have so much. We have so much to remember Jesus for. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table, and as they come, I'm just going to remind you that in order to participate in the celebration of communion with us this morning, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church, but you do have to be a believer in Jesus as Savior for eternal life.
Bearing the
Let's remember Jesus.
Daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for our last song?
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him. Face to face. that day. We join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Before him, there will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord, so let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord.